Today's scripture lesson comes from Psalm 98, the whole chapter. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equality.
I know it's only a few weeks away, but I want you to, for just a moment, imagine that it's Christmas morning. Christmas morning at your house. Have you got the picture? Okay. It's about, what, 5:30? 6 o'clock? 8 o'clock? We put on our warm robe and our slippers, perhaps, and we make our way downstairs or down the hall to the room where the Christmas tree is. And on the way, got to have a pot of coffee on. Got to get the coffee pot going, right? Got to have a pot of coffee. We sit around our tree, wherever the room is. We sit around with our family, and we start talking about the wonderful gifts that people gave each other a couple of thousand years ago. And there are no presents under the tree. Where's Nick? Remember that year I said, right, Jesus isn't coming. Or Christmas is canceled or something like that. Imagine sitting around a tree with no presents under it. Well, that's what's wrong with this picture. Everyone knows that there's got to be some presents under the Christmas tree. This whole idea of sitting around a tree and sharing stories about people getting gifts at some other time, well, that must be some other story, some other religion, some other holiday for folks, but it sure isn't Christmas, is it? I don't know about you, but when I think about the real meaning of Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas, the reason for the season, and I think about Jesus, it's like we're celebrating the giving of a special gift that was given long ago, over 2,000 years ago. With all of the commercialism, with all of the craziness going on this time of year, it sort of loses a lot of its meaning for us right now. Sure, the story of Jesus' birth found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke is a great story. We remember it every year, don't we? We rehearse it, we sing cantatas about it, we dress the kids up in these cute little costumes as shepherds and angels and all of that. It's the old, old story of God coming to earth as a human being, and in fact, a child, a baby. But to be honest about it, sometimes that's where it ends for us. It's just a story. Something remembered from long ago. We don't really expect a life-changing gift from God for us now, do we? So, in a sense, it's like nothing under the tree except this old story. Today is the second sermon in a series of three that feature Christmas carols. Anybody remember last week's carol? Uh-oh. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. That's right. That's right. Today we're looking at Joy to the World. Somewhere. Uh-oh. One ahead of me. Today we're looking at Joy to the World, and it was written by a guy by the name of Isaac Watts nearly 300 years ago. Isaac Watts wrote 17 of the hymns in our United Methodist hymnal, but he actually wrote over 800 hymns for the church in his lifetime. Hymns like, "O God, our help in ages past, alas, and did my Savior bleed, when I survey the wondrous cross," and many, many others. Isaac Watts, as you can see, lived in the late 17th, early 18th centuries, about the time of John Wesley. John Wesley was a young man during this time, but I'm sure he knew of Isaac Watts. And Isaac Watts wrote poetry most of his life. Even as a kid, he had a gift for making rhymes. He liked to talk in rhymes. He wrote everything in rhymes. In fact, one story is told that his father caught him with his eyes open and looking up at the ceiling while they were having family prayers. And so when the father scolded him for not paying attention and to be, you know, in prayer, Isaac explained that he was watching a mouse run up a rope in the house. And so he says, instead of saying that, he says, "A little mouse, for want of stairs, ran up a rope to say its prayers." That's how he responded to his father. Well, his father didn't think that was very funny. Naturally, Isaac didn't know when to shut up, so he cries out, "Father, do some pity take, for I no more verses will make." Everything in rhymes. I'm sure that Isaac Watts' poetry got better as he got older. He is now considered one of the greatest hymn writers of history. You see, just like his father had trouble with his poetry, many of the people in the church had problem with his hymns. His contemporaries, his fellow songwriters and others, considered his lyrics too worldly. People found them too theological and too personal, and he took so many liberties in writing these hymns of that day. A lot of his hymns made people mad, if you can imagine that. In fact, some pastors were fired because they sang his hymns in their churches. It was that bad. But even in the midst of all this controversy, Watts knew that God had given him a special gift. And so he kept at it and kept at it all his life. And he wrote, as I said, over 800 hymns. "Joy to the World" is one of those hymns. It's one of the standards. And we sing it as a Christmas carol, it seems, every year. But it's not a carol. Funny thing is, he did not mean for it to be sung only at Christmas time, like we sing it today. He had no intention of it being specifically for Christmas. He wrote it as a hymn, just like "How Great Thou Art" or "Amazing Grace." And it is based upon Psalm 98, which you just heard read by Ray. And Psalm 98 doesn't say a word about angels or shepherd boys or baby Jesus or anything related that we would relate to Christmas. This psalm is nothing but pure praise for God's salvation. If you look on the back of your bulletins or the words up on the screen, you'll see that salvation is mentioned three times in the opening verses of this psalm. It's God's salvation just exploding out into the world, going out to everyone. Every nation, even to the very ends of the earth, see and celebrate the salvation of God. The psalmist says this is good news, and he's calling everyone to give praise for God's salvation. In verses 4 to 6, they continue the praise. "Shout for joy, burst into jubilant song," he writes. It's a call to be joyous, playing the harps and blowing the trumpets and the horns to offer praise to God. It's a call to do whatever we humans can do to offer praise to God. Why? Because of God's salvation. It's a salvation song. It's a salvation song. And what God is doing and what God promises to do in the future. And then in verses 7 through 9, the creation itself is called upon. The psalmist calls upon the creation to praise God. Humanity, the seas, creatures of every kind, and even the mountains are called to offer praise to Almighty God. And then at the end of the psalm, we get the idea of why we are called to praise. Because God will come to judge the earth. And when all of human history is over, when God's kingdom comes in all of its fullness onto the earth, it says here that there will be righteousness and equity and fairness and justice. Everything will be made fair. Every hill will be laid low. Every valley filled. All wrongs will be righted. And so what this psalm is saying is that in the end, no longer will there be this great chasm, no longer this great veil between God and humanity, because God will live among the people.